When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Joel Embiid against the Knicks. Is he facing his not-too-distant future team? That in moments, Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. But first...
Day betting alert!
That is right, my friends.
Day betting alert!
We fell short yesterday. I came up empty. A little bit of a hot streak came to an end. So we passed the baton. And today, it's the Handman.
Hey, man, you got the dice.
You, my friend, are now charged with picking our winner in a day betting alert that sees us with 3 1 o'clock hour Eastern time games on the slate. Have at it, Eric Handman.
New shooter coming out.
All right, we're going to Tampa Bay. It's the fourth game of a four-game set between the Angels and the Rays. We're going with the Rays minus half a run on the five-inning line. So Rays minus half a run. Five innings over the Angels.
Okay, so it is the Rays run line.
There you go.
First five innings.
There you go.
Okay. So we need to win this bet at the conclusion of five innings. Rays need to be up by one or more runs. Everything after the fifth inning means nothing. This is a five-inning bet. We got to be up by one. Rays leading the Angels by at least one at the conclusion of five innings.
Now, over on ESPN Bet right now, that is a minus 110 bet. So right down the middle. Right down the middle, minus 110 on ESPN Bet. That is Griffin Canning going for the Angels. He of the 0-2, 9.88 ERA.
That's what I like to hear.
21 hits in 13 2/3. Oofa. Against Ryan Pepio. Pepio.
That's prized, what I thought. Prized guy they got back for Tyler Glass now.
Yes, that's right. Well, his ERA at 5.4.
But that whip, I'm all about that whip. Whip it
1.02 whip. Yeah. 1.02 whip.
That's where the Handman looks first when he's scouting pitching?
Yeah. That's, okay. Walks and hits per inning pitch, so about how many base runners you allow on base. The home runs will get you for the earned run average, but clearly Pepio has a very low whip here. Low base runners are going to get on base here today.
I'm a big barrel rate guy. I like barrel rate.
I love the BAPIP. I can't get enough BAPIP.
Batting that's average me. Ball in play?
Correct. Nice. FIP.
Correct. Yeah, it's not BABIP. We go BABIP.
BABIP?
BABIP?
Yeah, you emphasize the second half of that a little bit more. It's BABIP.
BABIP.
Batting average, ball in play. BABIP. This is baseball. This is baseball in the modern day. Do you know how much of this you have if you go diving through the advanced analytics? Can anyone tell me what lowercase W, capital R, capital C, plus means?
Wurrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr
weighted runs created, and then there's weighted runs created plus. Don't be an idiot. I gave you the
right.
plus on the
yes,
end.
Yes, the plus.
You should
Sorry.
Know this.
Yeah, no, I believe it's pronounced crap.
I didn't look into the FIPS of these pitchers, the fielding right. independent pitching.
Yeah.
You can sound like a genius. I go on the TV show, and when we're breaking down baseball games, there's a few ways you can do it. I'll throw out pitcher stuff, or I'll sit there and I'll talk about hard hit rates up, fastball velo down, not as much two-seamer this year. And it's all true. It's all accurate. It's just when you're done, it's like, what did I just say? Like, how many people are listening to that? Like, this guy's really scouting Pepio today. He's really on Pepio. It's no, you know where to go. You know where to find the information, but it's just, you know, try bringing that up at a cocktail party. See how far it gets you.
So once again, we will recap. It is the Rays minus a half run through the first five innings at minus 110 over on ESPN.
Day betting alert.
That game is set to get underway here in mere moments down at the Tropicana Dome. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We've discussed the matchup a little bit so far, but there has always been the talk about Joel Embiid and when, in fact, he may want to try to force his way out of Philadelphia, Joe. And one of the places that has often come up in that discussion has been the Knicks. Chris Canty, he of Unsportsmanlike this morning, discussed that possibility for the future.
We've all speculated about what the future of Joel Embiid is in Philadelphia. Is there a better landing spot for a star than the New York Knicks? And is there a better opportunity for the Knicks to prove to Joel Embiid that this is the place you need to come to win a championship?
Can't beat him, join him.
If Joel Embiid and the Sixers have another abbreviated playoff run, like, is it crazy to think at some point in the foreseeable future, Embiid could want out and New York could be a viable destination?
Joe, as a Sixers fan, and you have watched Joel Embiid's entire career unfold here, your take?
Hard no on that. Hard no. Now, if Embiid chooses at some point after the season that he wants out, I completely get it. He's been there long enough. Maybe the window's passed. Maybe he wants to try something new. It'd be sad to see him go, but I would get it. It's not happening with the Knicks because they're playing the Knicks. That game, that series starts this weekend. And one of two things is going to happen in that series. A, the Sixers could win that series. Why the hell are you going to leave Philly to go join the loser Knicks after you just beat them? And that's not to say the Knicks are losers, but they're losers in this instance. If you beat them, you're going to leave Philadelphia and go join that team? No, that's not going to happen. You just took them out. Then there's the other scenario. Philadelphia loses to the Knicks in this series. Sixers are losers. He wants out. You're going to pull a Durant? No one pulls a Durant. Durant pulled a Durant, and we all saw how it worked out. All right? Let's think about it like this. I was there when it happened. He was instrumental in winning those championships. I cannot overstate enough what he meant to that franchise.
He was the best player on those two teams.
But the thing is, everyone remembers him jumping ship, and everyone remembers Golden State winning before he got there and after he left. And after he left, what has he done? Didn't work in Brooklyn, not working in Phoenix. Mm. That'll always be holding over him. I'm not saying it's fair. I'm not saying it right. But these guys worry about their image more than anybody in professional sports. I cannot see a scenario where someone's going to want to follow in those footsteps, especially where in Durant's case, at least that was a championship team. The Knicks, if they don't go the distance this year, you're pulling a Durant without even joining the champs. So what would be the point, right?
Well, but I think that's what makes it a little bit different than pulling a Durant. Because Durant walked into the ready-made situation that had already won without him, and that's why he's treated the way he is because they have won without him since. And now Durant is in a position, as you just pointed out, trying to find his way and really chasing right now. If you're Embiid and you're doing this, I would compare it a little bit more to Dame Lillard this past year, although with less years under his belt in being in one spot. I don't think I'm going to blame Embiid if they go out in the first round here and they lose to the Knicks. Like, I think if they beat the Knicks, I don't think he'd end up there anyway. If they lost in the second round, it would honestly just depend. But if you're Joel Embiid right now and I'm the Sixers, why am I going to help you get to the Knicks? Like, Dame Lillard wanted to go to Miami and that became a spite thing. This is a division thing. Why am I going to send Joel Embiid with two more years on his contract to the Knicks because that's where he wants to go? I'm not going to do that
because
no matter
what. The best offer. Not saying I'd want to do it, but say they come with a real offer, picks, players, whatever it may be, a real offer. And once everyone knows a guy wants out, your leverage decreases significantly. Like, there was only so much Portland was going to be able to do there. Like, that's part of the problem with these guys going public is that they think they're putting all the pressure on the organization. They're also jamming them up. They're putting them in a spot where they're going to get pennies on the dollar. So they're going to have to sit there and they're going to try to search for the best possible outcome.
But that's what Miami was counting on last year, and it didn't work out. They didn't get Lillard. Like,
well,
they were counting on that.
Didn't the league kind of get involved with that a little bit? Like, they all made it so obvious that was going to happen. That's when that rule came out where they said, look, no more of this talking about where you want to go or
calling out for trades. Oh, they were ticked about that. Yeah, they were ticked about
that. It feels like the league got involved a little bit there because everything we've heard is that Miami made the best offer and he still ended up going to Milwaukee.
I'll also make this case, though. With the improvement of Tyrese Maxey, I would argue that Embiid is well suited to stay put to have his best opportunity to win moving forward.
Well, with
the coach and with Maxey.
With him developing and with what the salary cap situation is supposed to look like moving forward, and I think, I don't know all the inner workings of the NBA salary cap and all this and the exceptions and the mid-level deals and all that, but I think they're going to be in position to go out and make a big splash this offseason to bring somebody in to join them, to form their own little big three.
Well, that's because one of the big contracts comes off, and I believe it's Tobias Harris. So that gives them...
You can't get that contract out of there fast enough. No, you really can't. That talk about a swing and a miss. He was nothing last night. He's off the floor in the key moments. You can't make that much money and be pulled off the floor in the key moments.
No. Tobias Harris is awful. Compared to what he is making, he cannot be somebody that you are looking at for the long term in this scenario. So, yes, you have all of that. Those are all attractive reasons to stay put. What I do find comical, though, is, Joe, it's every year the Knicks find their next target, their next guy that they're going to go and get. They, of course he's going to end up here. And they never do. They never do. And I expect Embiid to be that next guy.
Well, make a run this season. If they get to the conference finals and lose to the Celtics maybe 4-2, there are going to be people looking at that saying, New York City with a team that's on the verge of winning a championship. It's going to be a lot more appealing than it's been in the past.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Feeling great starts with a great shave, and great shaves start with Barbasol Shaving Cream. That's Barbasol Shaving Cream, an American classic for over 100 years. Close shave, America. Close shave, Barbasol. Something happened last night that hasn't happened in 14 years. We'll tell you what next on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The 0-1. High drive, deep left field. It is back and it is gone. Almost an instant replay of last night's bomb. Wong does it again and it's 2-0 Red Sox.
WEEI in Boston last night. The Red Sox win, Joe, in 1 hour and 49 minutes. Holy cow.
Get in, get out.
An hour and 49 minutes. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. First off, though, we are underway down in Tampa.
Hey, betting alert.
And we've got a nice little 1-2-3 Ryan Pepiot special in the top half of the first inning as he shuts down the Angels. Handman is on the selection today for
day betting alert.
And the Handman has selected the Tampa Bay Rays, or the Tampa Rays, whatever they're referred to now as the selection through the first five innings, minus a half a run at minus 110 against the Anaheim Angels, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. So they play in the bottom half of the first inning as we speak. We will keep you updated on that. Red Sox beat the Guardians 2-0, like we said, an hour and 49 minutes. That is the shortest game since 2010. Now, listen, I love the rules. That's a little out of hand, is it not?
Well, I mean, this is what we're going for, right? Like, this is kind of the big battle now with baseball. They're trying to make it quicker to appeal to a younger audience, which doesn't necessarily have as wide of an attention span. But now you're starting to get some pushback. This is an extremely short game, but it's really about the injuries right now. You have a lot of people claiming that these pitching injuries are coming because of the pitch clock. Now, I'm not sure. Hembo did a great breakdown on this, and I think he made the case, and he made a very good case, that that's not necessarily the case. Yeah. The speed up of the pitch clock is not causing these injuries to pitchers, but you're getting a little bit of a battle here. You're getting a little bit of a battle. I mean, are we not entertained? What do we want here? Less than 2 hours, that's too fast, but we spend a lot of time talking about how baseball takes too long, so what are we going to do? Like, we're not going to get something perfect. You're not going to get every single game to land exactly on the number.
No, I kind of say that tongue-in-cheek a little bit because my attention span, even as somebody who is older, is exceptionally limited. Exceptionally limited. And so with that being the case, an hour and 49 minutes for me would have been just fine. I mean, Joe, I mean, we talked about, my wife and I talked about watching Oppenheimer the other day. It's 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, There's no chance of keeping my attention away from playing some Candy Crush or something for that long.
Okay.
I don't care if it's about the future of the world and one of the most notorious inventions of the 20th century. I mean, I get it, but, you know.
Candy Crush is calling.
Yeah. Big fella needs a snack, maybe. Something like that.
What are we going to baseball games for? What are we going to baseball games? I know so, when I go to a football game, I am going to see that specific matchup. Like if Penn State's hosting Michigan and I'm going to Beaver Stadium, I am going there for the football. I am 100% locked into the football. I took the boys. I took the wife. We went to the Celtics-Warriors game. We were going there for the basketball primarily, but also it was their first basketball game, and it was certainly everyone's first game in Boston since we moved here. So it was an opportunity to have a little bit of a day out of the house as well, try something new.
Yeah.
Baseball seems to me like it's moving more in the direction of you're coming out for a day at the park rather than you're going to a sporting event. It feels more like an outing than it does an event. Discuss.
Listen, you've got your diehards who are going to be there for their team no matter what, right? But for instance, a couple of weeks ago, I went out to Wrigley with my friend who's a Dodger fan to see the Dodgers and the Cubs. I have no rooting interest in this game, but I will go and I will watch any baseball game live anywhere because I love the atmosphere of it.
Okay.
I love sitting out in the stands. I love getting some peanuts, having a beer, and just chilling and watching some baseball. Now, there are times I admit, and I hate this about myself, that for a while when the games got so long, I was the guy leaving early. I was the guy who was out the door in the eighth inning, and I hate that about myself. I didn't want to be that guy. I will say this now certainly lends itself more to me hanging out longer at the ballpark.
Well, not longer.
Just, but I mean, staying for the end of the game.
You're making it deeper into the game because the game is shorter. You're still saying the same amount of time. The game has sped up. Ooh, we got a little rope down the line here. We're going to try to get that run in from first. Let's go. Ooh, he misplayed it off the wall. That's got to be a run. Go, 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 go. They're not going to be able to get him. They'll throw up. There we go, hand man. That's how you do it. A three up, three down in the top, and then we come get a run immediately in the bottom half of the inning. And just so everyone is clear, this is not play-by-play. So many plays have happened that you are unaware of. We told you about one play. This is not a violation of any broadcasting contracts whatsoever. We didn't even tell you who was involved, primarily because I don't know.
Exactly. Play-by-play would suggest multiple plays.
Correct.
By pure definition. So
at least more than
there's
one.
There's no play-by-play involved here.
We didn't even mention that Rosario got to third base with under two outs, now has a chance to score on a fly ball.
Yeah,
and that's a good job by Palacios getting around, and if he didn't, I'd be destroying him. But
we're 0-1 here at the next batter, but again, to the point of not doing play-by-play, we're just doing play, right? Yes. We gave you a play. We didn't do the buy or the second play. We just did play. Now, we're 0-1 here, so I'd like to see something. See, that's low and away. We got it. The ball's loose, but we're not coming in. All right, now I don't know about that. I would have tried to swipe home there.
Okay, now that was a little closer. So maybe, you know, we dial it back a bit on the play-by-play.
Oh, no, I only gave you the one play, though. I didn't tell you about the pitch before
that. You don't know
that,
if it was a fastball.
Probably not going to tell you about the pitch after it. I'll let this next pitch go, theater of the mind. You figure out what happened, and then we'll bring you back in after that.
And by the way, I'm back into the thing now where I'm a good you know, it's eight pitches behind you. It's killing me.
They got a whole thing set up for you. They can get you the game in real time, just like we're all watching. Why didn't you accept it?
I didn't accept it because I'm either watching the game or I'm watching you or I'm looking right at you.
You chose me.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at you.
I know, you, but you are, and you don't even realize it when you look at the camera. Ooh, see, I take that like you're looking at
there
me.
There we go. That's going to be a sack. That's how you do it, gentlemen.
2-0.
2-0 Raise.
2-0 Raise in a little day betting alert.
To deep right to bring in the run.
Good job by the handman. Handman has got us cruising so far.
Hold on. We got four. We got
lock
four
it up. We got this in the bag.
Stop. We got four plus innings here. Jeez.
It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. But to the point, I mean, do you still go to a game? I absolutely still go to a game to sit and enjoy and watch it and take it in. And I welcome the rules. I absolutely do. An hour and 49 is an aberration. We know this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not going to be the norm. I'm in a different situation. Two young kids. So if it's with them, it's more determined by how they are doing rather than how I feel and how long I want to stay. We went to Fenway. We got there about an hour early, got into the seats. We're eating. We're checking some things out. We're watching the warm-ups. We're teaching them where they can look to find the score, balls and strikes, keeping all that, pointing out the players. Great time. Make it to about the seventh. You can tell they're getting a little antsy. And on top of that, you got a two-hour drive home. Beating the traffic is something that you want to do in that scenario because I believe the next day they were taking a long drive to Buffalo because they were on spring break. I don't need to give you the whole life story, but that was more predicated on the kids rather than me. I probably would have left that game early as well. The Orioles did start putting it on them at one point.
All right, so listen.
But I'm there for the atmosphere. No lie, I couldn't have cared less about that game. I didn't even bet it. I didn't even bet. I just went and I wanted to hang out. It was my first time at Fenway. I was there for the atmosphere.
This is a hypothetical purely.
Sure.
Next Friday, 1:10 start, Detroit, you and me, Tigers, Royals. No shot.
Well, here's the thing. It's I got TV. I got TV. If I didn't have TV, like I'm 100% in for that. 100%. I don't know what time the damn TV show is.
You could sit there and you could bet that game all day long.
Can I do the TV show from Tiger Stadium? Like, can we just get like a TV?
You got one of those little apps on your phone. I don't know why you couldn't.
I got some of the gear. Like, can we just get a little setup there where we're doing the game from? We're doing the show from there, and I'm kind of half paying attention and half not. What is that? That's Friday. First round of the draft's over.
First round over, yeah, second and point, third round. What time's the show next Friday?
I don't know. I got to dig it up. I don't know. No one's told me.
Yeah. Well, I'll figure that out. But my point is you would go to that game to just hang out and
I would
enjoy.
Absolutely go with you to hang out because I found it interesting at the beginning when you said you went to the Cubs-Dodgers game and you like going to games because you had some peanuts and a beer. No, I'd like to see if it's really some peanuts and a beer. I don't really feel like that's where it ends.
I really only had one beer at that game, but I had a full bag of peanuts and I had a hot dog in that game. I'll tell you, when have you ever thought you were going to somehow not get the truth about what I have consumed?
And we're still light. I think we're still light.
Why would I lie about that?
Hey, you tell me.
I am not that guy.
I'm just the one who smelled the problem early, and it turned out that, yeah, there was a hot dog.
Because I'm going to fool everybody. Yeah. I went to the vegan stand down the right field line at Wrigley. That's what
I did.
Got
myself a salad, no dressing.
I had some hummus. Oh, my God. Please. You don't have hummus? Well, I'm out of here.
Wrigley's really going to hell.
Oh, really? Oh, my God. What do they call them now? The fake hot dogs, the fake burgers? You don't have any impossible hot dogs? Well, it's impossible that I'm going to eat more than one. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Quarterbacks, 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 but we're talking about ones in the league already. There's one quarterback that was due to get his contract. That's all we heard, but he hasn't. So is his team actually looking for a new one? It's not who we've talked about. Carlin versus Joe, a little pool party next on ESPN Radio. After Joe has this from Grainger.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry out there, as well as access to the product specialists who have both the knowledge and the experience to answer all your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and, more importantly, your people even safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
The 2024 NFL Draft on ESPN Radio.
Are you ready?
Live from the heart of downtown Detroit, Michigan.
The Detroit Lions select.
It all begins with round one, Thursday, April 25th.
The NFL Draft is now officially open.
The countdown rolls on. The 2024 NFL Draft on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, on the day betting alert situation. 2-0 Rays. We've got the Rays minus a half a run through five innings at minus 110. That's the Handman special. However, the Angels are threatening with second and third and two out down in Tampa. Do they just get out of it?
Oh, that's a long fly out right there. We are out of that jam, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes,
sorry,
we are.
Angels, stranding a couple ducks on the pond there.
That's Pepio. You don't do that to Pepio. No, sir.
Day betting alert.
So that's where we're at. That is through an inning and a half down in Tampa. It is a 2-0 Rays lead. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. We heard very early in the offseason from the Miami Dolphins a priority in this offseason was to get a contract done with Tua Tagovailoa, Joe. And that has not happened as of yet. Now, apparently Tua and his agents and the Dolphins have had some conversations, and there's been an understanding that they would maybe have those discussions after the draft. But you know Chris Greer is going to get asked about it, and here he was asked about the possibility of taking a quarterback in the first round this week.
We always look at every position. I would say that's not someone I'm looking at the first round. It's not a position that we've even talked about. There's some good players, but you know we're very happy with Tua.
I can't say first round. I don't think they should be looking at it first round, but I don't think they should be ruling everything out here, Joe.
Yeah, the first round, the thing is they're sitting, if I'm not mistaken, what, 23?
21.
Yeah, I don't know. You're not going to overdraft Knicks or Michael Penix in that spot most likely, and I don't see anyone else falling to you, so I could understand not drafting a quarterback in the first round, but I'll reemphasize the point of my belief. I don't think Tua is the guy. I know he's put up some numbers and people will come on and say things like, he was in the MVP race last year. Yeah, I mean, was he? Because at the end of the year when they voted on it, no one was voting for him. He was in it early in the year with a small handful of games when he blew out the Denver Broncos by 50. Like late in the year when they need you to play well in big games to jockey for playoff positioning, he wasn't really anywhere to be found. In fact, last year against teams that went to the playoffs, he was 1-6. And in those seven games, he had a quarterback rating that was pretty much identical to the quarterback rating Kenny Pickett put up last season. Kenny Pickett, if you remember, is the guy Pittsburgh kicked out the door and then brought in Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. So that shows you everything you need to know about how Tua performed in big games. And it's not like he's a rookie and I'm unfairly banging on him right now. He's been around for a few years, and yeah, they got him some good receivers and a good coach, so he's put up some big numbers, but he's not the guy who shows up big in the big spot. So I think they should be looking for a quarterback. I don't think they're going to be looking for a quarterback.
I don't think they will be either. I'd be surprised if they were, but I'm with you 100%. Tua is nothing special as a quarterback. I think he can start in the league, but I don't think he can win you a championship, and the Dolphins have been constructing their team the last couple of years to win a championship. So let's have a discussion for a moment about some teams that maybe you wouldn't consider right away as to looking at a quarterback in the first round or even at all in the first couple rounds, but maybe they should be, okay? We'll throw a couple at you. Rams, sitting at number 19. Should the Rams be considering a quarterback in the first round?
See, again, the draft position takes the good guys off the table.
But you can even argue that if you're thinking about Michael Penix, maybe the Rams traded back or something like that. Let's just say
they
first
need a
couple
quarterback.
Rounds.
They need a quarterback. They need a quarterback. Stafford's their guy this year. That is not going much further past this. Now, if they have some little plan worked out where they understand a veteran who's going to hit free agency at some point in the future, or maybe, and I'm not suggesting that they do this, but if you're looking at a guy like Daniel Jones thinking, you know what, we can get something out of him. The Giants don't like him. They're going to swing and miss. We can take advantage of that. I could see them maybe operating in that plane, but Stafford's not a long-term play because the end of the line's right down the road. So yeah, they got to make a play for a quarterback.
I would absolutely think, and I think Michael Penix would be perfect for the Rams. I really
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
I think he'd be phenomenal for the Rams long term. Now, if I had a chance at a premier guy on that offensive line or at receiver or somebody that I felt like was a premier corner that could really help me at 19, then I'm probably going that route first. But then I'm looking hard at the second round. Blank them picks. Don't forget, this is the first time they've had a first round pick since 2016.
You owe it to yourself to push here. You've got Stafford for maybe one more year, maybe two. Like, you shouldn't sit back and not go after it. Like, they should attack. I think the Niners are vulnerable this year.
And because they are back quicker than you would have thought based off of last season.
Yes.
Cardinals, Kyler Murray. Well, there's been a lot of debate about whether or not the Cardinals should be in looking at a quarterback. What say you, Joe Football?
I would say yes. I would absolutely say yes. Maybe this is the ultimate sandbag, and they know that May or McCarthy starting quarterback in the NFL. Maybe things change. Maybe he matures, but he doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to step up and be a leader when you need it. I just always go back to that nonsense with the contract. They felt compelled to put a clause in the contract where he had to give them a certain amount of hours of study. Do you think that's ever happened for Matthew Stafford, for Tom Brady? Could you imagine the Chiefs going to Patrick Mahomes and saying, look, Patrick, we're gonna need this new contract to include study time. You got to hit your minimums here. No, you know the guy's a professional, so you treat him like a professional. The way Arizona treated him, I think that tells you everything you need to know.
I get that. I would only do it if I were going to get Drake May or Daniels at 4. I would not do it for J.J. McCarthy at 4. I've said this many times. I don't think McCarthy is worth trading up for. You want to draft him back at 13, you want to draft him later in the first round, go nuts. I don't think enough is there. I've heard from enough people during the draft process to at least make it a question. You know what I'm saying? This is not everybody across the league 100%. This is the guy. It's not like that right now. The Cowboys, Joe, we have talked about. Hey.
Yeah, not just for the fun that we'll have on air after this happens. Yes, you should go draft a quarterback. You should use your first round pick on a quarterback. If you like one of the guys like McCarthy or Drake May, you should get aggressive and trade up for a quarterback. And as crazy as that sounds, you haven't signed Dak Prescott to an extension. You have set up a scenario where you have no quarterback under contract for the 2025 season. That action alone means you should be out there drafting somebody. I think they absolutely should go draft a quarterback. I don't know why they wouldn't. Why would you not? Because if you're not going to sign the guy you have, why would you not get ready for the future?
I would try to get somebody that could help me right now in the first round. But again, second or third round, I'll just say it. Spencer Rattler is going to be a Cowboy.
But you also would have paid Dak, right? Like, you would have taken care of the extension, and you wouldn't even be having this conversation right
I'm not
now.
Saying that I personally would be drafting Spencer Rattler. I'm saying Spencer Rattler will be a Cowboy.
I know that you're talking about that, but you also would have been the guy that extended Dak, so you wouldn't even be in this situation right now.
Correct. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. I want to throw in the Jets. I want to, but I'm going to lay off for now.
Don't worry about what we're up to, okay? We're about to bring in a big-time contributing playmaker with our first pick, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to make some noise moving forward. We're good. You don't have to worry about us.
Mm-hmm. The one mock draft that is unlike anything else. Wait until you hear what Bill Barnwell has one team in the top five doing. It's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, including on TuneIn.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Oh, yeah, that'll light the fire, won't it? 1 week away, NFL Draft right here on ESPN Radio, of course on ESPN and ABC. Carlin versus Joe, presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with Life Electronic Device and Pet Health Insurance. Progressive.com. Joseph, Bill Barnwell each year, one of our favorites, comes out with his annual mock draft that includes 32 first-round trades. Evan is going to propose a few of them, and we are going to give our impressions. Are you ready?
Got to turn the mic on first. Locked and loaded.
I thought it was a dramatic effect. Evan, the floor is yours.
No, it's not. The mic was just not on.
Okay. By the way, bottom three in Tampa, still 2-0 good guys. We're on the Rays minus a half run through five innings today, courtesy of the Handman against the Angels. Evan, floor is yours.
Yeah, the Patriots with the third pick. They trade the third pick to the Raiders for draft picks. The Raiders get up into the top three to get their quarterback in this mock draft. Do you like this trade, Carlin?
I do. The Patriots, in theory, would get two more first-round picks and a second this year. I do like it for the Patriots if they are not in love with Drake May. If Jaden Daniels is there, the Patriots would be fools to make any trade. But if it's Drake May, absolutely I would make that trade for the Patriots. Love it.
Are we slicing this from the Patriots side or the Raiders side?
Either.
Yeah, I love it for the Raiders. Yeah. What else are you going to do? What's the plan, Las Vegas? What's the plan? For 20-plus years post-Rich Gannon, what's the plan? Coach A to Coach B to Coach C to Coach D. Coaches in, coaches out. Coaches leaving for all types of reasons. We got interims. We got returning coaches and guys like John Gruden. It never ends. It's a revolving door. Quarterback's the same thing. We're drafting guys. We're signing guys. We're moving guys around. Like, at some point, you got to figure something out. You got to take this franchise, and you got to usher it into an era of competence. And I can't think of a better year in which you're going to launch forward with Antonio Pierce as your head coach. The players said they wanted him. You listened. You kept him. You got your stadium in Las Vegas. It is time to move forward. Get a quarterback. Who'd they end up signing? Gardner Minshew? Nice piece is your number two, not your guy. Go out and get a franchise guy you can build around.
Next.
The Chargers trade the fifth pick to the San Francisco 49ers for for Brandon Ayuk and the 31st overall pick. Let me read this sentence. With Brock Purdy about to get much more expensive after 2024 and the 49ers already having McCaffrey, Debo, Kittle, and Trent Williams, this should be a creative way to save money. Sacrificing Ayuk allows them to move all the way up the board to draft his replacement, maybe Malik Nabers. So the idea of the Chargers trading the 5th overall pick to the Niners for Ayuk and another first round pick, Joe.
I like it. I like that for both sides. I'm looking at the Chargers side of the equation. I'm thinking, all right, you get quarterback Justin Herbert a weapon because you just lost Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. You're going to need to give Ayuk a new contract. I think that could be a little sticky because you got a lot of money tied up right now and a lot of players for the Chargers, but I don't think Mack and Bosa are going to be long-term guys there. And on top of that, you do end up with a first-round pick later where it's supposed to be a deep offensive line clash. You could bring in some guy to help as well. Like it for the Chargers and understand it for the Niners.
Yeah, you have crystallized my thoughts on the Chargers right there, especially the back end of that with the offensive line, the tackle at the end of the first round. I like it for the 49ers. You know why? I had one talent evaluator say that Malik Nabers is a combination of Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk.
Wow, a little two for one for the Niners, yeah. Right there.
And listen, you don't sacrifice a playmaker because you're getting a big time one right there. Absolutely love it for San Francisco. Next.
Yeah, Malik Nabers join us in about a half hour.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Speaking of, the Giants with the 6th pick traded to the Bills for draft picks. This puts the Bills in position to get into that top 10 and get one of these wide receivers. Carlin, do you like the Giants trading the 6th pick to the Bills for draft picks?
So the Giants are getting a first-round pick, a second-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and then another first next year and a third down the line. I mean, they're getting a lot. I don't hate it from the Giants' perspective because the Giants do need a lot, Joe. It was fool's gold 2 years ago. It really was. And they needed to do a lot more retooling, and they didn't do that. They got fooled by it. I get it from a Buffalo standpoint. I do like it from a Giants' perspective because it gives you an opportunity to get a lot of good young players in there.
I don't think I like this for anybody, to be honest. I'm trying to think, like, Buffalo's going to give up a ton of assets to come up for a wide receiver. Like, if you want a wide receiver so bad, give up fewer assets, trade for Brandon Ayuk, and then just pay him. Or wait, you don't want to pay him, so you want the young guy for all the draft picks? It seems like too much to go up and get a wide receiver. And then on the other side of the equation, all right, Giants trade back and pick up a bunch of picks. Good luck selling that to Brian Daboll, who knows his rear end is on the hot seat this year and he's going in with Daniel Jones. That means he needs to win with Daniel Jones. And here's what's fun about that. If you win with Daniel Jones, say you go 8-9 and you look competent, got to bring Daniel Jones back for another year. Then he ends up getting hurt in week 3 and you have another disaster like you did last season. And the cycle goes on and on and on until everybody gets fired.
Other thing I'd say about the Bills is they're going to be able to get a wide receiver like Xavier Murphy at Worthy at 28. So maybe it doesn't make the most sense for them either.
But to be fair, Bill is doing a trade for everybody, and I love the creativity of this. I don't want to make it sound like I think it's a dumb idea. It's all very creative, and he's doing it for every single team. It's not easy.
Next.
The Vikings trade the 23rd pick and Justin Jefferson to the Patriots for the 3rd overall pick to get their quarterback. Joe?
No, you can't do that. Oh. You can't do that. What is the point of bringing in a rookie quarterback if he doesn't have anyone to throw the ball to? It's not a good business move in the NFL to spend a lot of time looking to find great players, and then when you actually hit on a great player, trading him away for more picks so that you can use those picks to hopefully go find good players. Do you see how dumb that sounds? If you hit on a guy like Jefferson, you pay him and you keep him and you hope you can build around him the way you need to build around him. So no, I would not do that. I'd rather just draft a quarterback that's available to me and play it that way.
I get where Bill's coming from here because it would have the Vikings still getting the 3rd pick. They'd still have the 11th pick. And in a deep wide receiver draft at 11, you could probably still get a really big time wide receiver, maybe even get a Dunze if he slips that far. And you've got Jordan Addison, who they're very high on. I personally would not do it though if I were the Vikings. Absolutely not. Justin Jefferson is a cut above everybody else. Next.
Good deal for the Patriots though. Good deal for the Patriots.
Yeah.
So he had to do this for every team, every pick. So with the first overall pick, the Chicago Bears trade number one overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars for Trevor Lawrence, a second round pick, and a fifth round pick. Carlin, thoughts?
First overall pick for Trevor Lawrence, a second and a third. I don't hate it. I don't hate it because I still do have a lot of faith in Trevor Lawrence as a quarterback developing, Joe.
It's clever, but you got to pay Lawrence. And then that all of a sudden defeats the whole purpose of why you're bringing in Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, you believe, is a franchise quarterback, and he's cheap. That means you can spend everywhere else. If you bring in Lawrence and believe he's a franchise quarterback, great. But then you got to pay him, and you can't spend elsewhere, thus costing yourself all these years that you're supposed to be the most excited about. The next three years should be the best years for the Bears.
I tell you what, though. Bill always comes up with creative stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Bill made that sound realistic.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, people would not be able to make that sound realistic. He did a good job of having us like, okay, this is worth indulging in. It's more than I can say about what I hear from you and what you can say you hear about from me.
I would agree with that. He's a lot more insightful than either one of us or perhaps both of us combined. Tampa, 2-0, the lead over the Angels play bottom of the third. Okay, we'll keep an eye on that. Little day betting with the Handman, ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.